chapter 26 of the Acts of the Apostles, verse number 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Verse number 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 19, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Verse 24, And as he thus spake for himself, Festus, said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Now that will suffice our reading. I want you to think with me of the words of Agrippa on this special occasion in his life, remembering that this was a God-appointed meeting. At the conversion of Saul, he was to learn that he was to stand before kings. And unknown to Agrippa, God had made an appointment for Saul or Paul to stand before Agrippa. And in the purposes of God, God had directed that Agrippa would get this message. You know, the sovereign hand of God in the lives of men is something amazing. Could have won in tonight's meeting and 12 months ago, you never thought you would have sat in such a gathering as this. And God has been working in your life and bringing you into contact with those that have an interest in you. And tonight, ordained of God, you're sitting under the sound of the gospel. No accident that you're in the meeting tonight. And God has so sheltered you and preserved you and ordained that you should get another message in the gospel. And such was the experience of Agrippa. And notice his words. He says, Paul, almost. Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And we're going to notice that Agrippa has learned what it is to be a Christian. That word is used very loosely today. And Agrippa is going to learn what a Christian is in Bible terms. Then he thought, me to be a Christian? What would it mean for me to be a Christian? We heard on Friday night, was it? Or was it Saturday night? That the Bible calls upon us to sit down and count the cost. Consider what it would mean for me to be a Christian. For said the Savior, whosoever shall be ashamed of me in this generation, of him shall I be ashamed when I come in the glory of my Father's kingdom. The man that's not a Christian in time will not be with Christ in eternity. To be a Christian, and considers what it would mean for me to be a Christian. Then whatever way we understand this expression, he was convinced of this, that there was a man before him that was a Christian, and not only was assured of the fact himself, but had a longing within his heart that Agrippa should have this experience himself. Oh, could you catch the feelings of the apostle when he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they should be saved. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. 5 times received I 40 strokes, say one. 195 stroke marks. Thrice was I beaten with rods. A day and a night was I in the deep. What is it that others might be gathered in and blessed with salvation? Did we say it the other night as we listened to the gospel? And as it has pleased God to give some another offer of salvation, we should remember it took the sacrifice of Christ to provide it. Salvation is the most costly provision that ever was made. To bring the worlds into being with all their wonder, he just spake and it was done. And he commanded and it stood fast. To provide salvation for me. Did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust that guilty worms might rise? He took the guilty sinner's place and suffered in our stead. For man, oh miracle of grace, for man the Savior bled. And this apostle to the Gentiles, the one chosen by God that you and I should hear the gospel, he suffered what no other human suffered. The wonder is the man lived to endure so much, and he did it that we should hear the gospel. Oh, before Agrippa stood a man, and Agrippa was convinced that this man has a desire that I should be a Christian. To be a Christian. Firstly, notice how much a man could have and not be a Christian. He says, those that knew me from my earliest, if they would testify, that after the straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Right away I learned there's something different between being a religious person and being a Christian. Paul was convinced that all who knew him in his early days could testify that he was a most religious youth. He showed a zeal in his religious endeavors. In another portion he said, if any man think he hath whereof he might trust in, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, and I wasn't a Christian. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of that favored race I was. As touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. I had all that, and I wasn't a Christian. Circumcision was an ordinance given of God. I had that, he said, and I wasn't a Christian. We read of a man in this same book, and he was baptized, and he was baptized by Philip, and he was baptized with the proper mode. And Peter could look at that man and say, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. I'm baptized. Friend, you could be baptized and your heart not right in the sight of God. For baptism never put one in God's kingdom. And a man could have the ordinance given by God and baptized in the proper mode, and his heart still not right in the sight of God. And our Bible, that never exaggerates, describes the heart of the unregenerate man as deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And as God looks past the exterior, for Samuel learned in the home of Jesse that God seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And should a man be baptized, a God-given ordinance, he could have that, and his heart not right in the sight of God. And as God looks upon the heart, he sees a heart and it's desperately wicked. What is the vilest thing on earth? Bethink thee now and tell. It is a soul by sin defiled. It's only fit for hell. Friend, I'll not preach to you what I didn't accept about myself. I'm thankful to say that I lived a restrained life. I was reared in a privileged home. But I learned in the presence of God that my heart was not right in the sight of God. I could have all that and not be a Christian. Agrippa is going to learn that to be a Christian, it's a man with a definite experience in life. You notice as Paul stood before Agrippa, he says, I count myself happy, O king, to answer this day. And indeed, he stretched forth his hand. That gives a preacher a bit of liberty to use his hands as well as his tongue, you know. Paul, are you embarrassed when you're called upon to answer for the experience of conversion? Oh no, he says, I count myself happy, O king, to answer this day. And it's with a heart glowing with gratitude to God and thankful for the opportunity of telling of the experience of conversion. He could tell you the time of day it happened. He could bring you to the place on the road where it happened, and it gave him joy to tell about the experience that brought about this standing as a Christian. I went to meetings as a careless boy just to please my mother. And the preacher that God used to awaken me, practically every night or two, he would stop in his preaching and he'd say, "If you are saved, when did you get saved?" "If you are saved, where did you get saved?" "If you are saved, how did you get saved?" And then he'd add, "And what change has it made in your life?" Oh, this man said before conversion, he said, "I was injurious. I was a persecutor. I thought I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." And this one experience at noonday changed an opposer of the gospel to the most fervent preacher and servant of Christ that this world has ever known. I want to tell you, conversion's a reality. What happened on the road to Damascus? Well, he said, "Those things which were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Oh, now, Paul, you were excited. "No," he says, "years later, yea, I count them as refuse. As far as salvation was concerned, I counted that circumcision was of absolutely no value. Those things that I prized in my religious zeal, I put them in the garbage bin, just of no value as far as salvation was concerned." He would have put his baptismal papers in the garbage bin had he lived in our day. "And all of my boasted zeal and all of my progress in law keeping, I saw it was of absolutely no value." And reminding the Ephesians of their salvation, he says, "No, by grace ye are saved." That is, God bestows salvation, and it means just without a cause. We owe salvation to the unmerited favor of God. He never was compelled to provide salvation. It was just out of the bounty of his love toward us that he provided salvation. "For by grace are you saved through faith." That's how you make it your own. Just accept God at his word. Just place your faith in Christ for salvation. And he said, "It's not of yourselves. Nothing of human merit in it. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast." There'll never be a proud man walk the street of heaven and speak of merit. There'll not be one that will mention about doing his best. But the song of heaven is this: "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, it's all the work of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." This experience changed the man to be a Christian. He saw all that he trusted in of self and of religion and of ordinance and of merit just was of no value. "I'm finished with it," he said. Meet him after conversion. Do you know, at the time of his conversion, Ananias could barely believe it. Just in 1 hour of time, yes, just in one moment of time, the man is transformed. And the man that felt he had so much that he could glory in and trust in, he says, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ,
We said, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me.
What do you boast in, Paul? What do you glory in? What do you trust in?
Oh, he says, I just trust in the one who went to the cross, and in love he gave himself for me. He would have sung with us, you know, the cross of Christ is all my boast. His blood my only plea. My passport to the realms of bliss is Jesus died for me. Agrippa, that's what it is to be a Christian. A man with a definite experience of losing all confidence in all of self. There was a lady in our country, and she told two preachers that she had got saved. And they said, how did you get saved? She shocked them. She said, I got saved through my good looks. Oh, the present speaker wouldn't have had a hope. And the shocked preacher said, oh, you'll have to explain yourself. Well, she said, I got a good look at myself. And I saw myself as only a sinner. And she said, I got a good look at hell. And I realized that's what I deserve. And she said, I got a good look at Christ. And I saw that I needed nothing more. She said, I got saved through my good looks to be a Christian. Me to be a Christian? Many are prepared for it tonight. Do you want to entertain a hope of heaven? I dare not suggest tomorrow night. Because your Bible declares, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And God says it's now. For me to be a Christian, and God says it's now. It was too much for Agrippa. Almost. Those who fish in the North Sea find it to be a very treacherous occupation. Many have lost their lives in those stormy seas, out of reach of a haven. I remember one Saturday afternoon, some years ago, hearing that the ferry that crosses our narrow piece of water, just about 20 miles, was in trouble. And it sank. They were just in sight of home. And in fact, one man who lived near to where we live, his body was washed up at the bottom of his own garden. Just in sight of home. Was lost. A man at a God-appointed meeting, convinced I have learned what it is to be a Christian, has pondered what it would mean for me to be a Christian, convinced that the preacher would have longings for his salvation. Almost. But lost. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.